From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. In a couple of days, France should have a new president. The country will have a runoff election on Sunday between conservative candidate Marine Le Pen and centrist Emmanuel Macron.
Donc on revient en France.
C'est essentiel.
That's the two candidates debating this week whether France should stop using the euro as its currency. Among those watching the election, Facebook and Google, which are hoping that fake news will be much less visible than it was in the run-up to the U.S. election last fall. Sarah Fryer is a tech reporter for Bloomberg who's following this story. Sarah, thanks for talking with me. Back in February, Facebook and Google put in place some tools to prevent the spread of fake news, right? How they been working?
So for Facebook and Google, the French election is sort of a testing ground for how well they can really come at this problem. And they're trying.
I hate the sound of that.
It's like a social experiment, but
yes,
happening in reality. What I mean to say is they're trying so many things at once, and
sure,
maybe some of them will work and maybe some won't.
Yeah.
Among the things they're trying, they're working with fact-checker organizations to try to put their, you know, fact-checking conclusions alongside news articles that may be suspect. On Facebook, there's this new tool that they rolled out just in France called Perspectives that pits the policy positions of candidates against each other so you can see, you know, point by point what they actually stand for and maybe in that way not get as manipulated. There are also research efforts going on at both companies. And Facebook's talked about this. You know, they've noticed that if people click on an article and then quickly go back to Facebook, that might indicate that that article wasn't actually useful. Maybe it was spammy. Maybe it was fake news. So they're trying to make sure that they take in signals. Can we adjust the algorithm to highlight higher quality information?
Is there any specific tool that either company has been using around the French election that you think is particularly effective?
One of the interesting aspects of how these companies are dealing with this problem is the human element. We assume that these companies, all of their answers to problems will be algorithmic. In fact, with this French election, a lot of their leaning has been on journalistic organizations, fact-checking organizations. The last thing that Facebook or Google wants to be is an arbiter of truth. And so now they're saying, okay, we are not going to be the deciders of what is true. We're going to leave that to journalists. And I think that that might be the most effective thing they do.
Well, getting an education in the humanities, maybe not such a bad idea after all.
Right.
Very interesting. Sarah Fryer, she writes about technology for Bloomberg. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's Silicon Valley time. Our guest today, Mike Murphy. He is reporter extraordinaire at the publication Quartz. Mike, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
Yes, I am.
All right. Less than 0.1% of Gmail users.
I would guess that that was the big phishing attempt that went around the internet this week.
Yes. Were you one of the phished?
I was. Well, I didn't click because that I feel like that would kind of ruin my small reputation as a tech reporter.
As a tech reporter. It was amazing how big this got. So this is, of course, the number of Gmail users that Google says were impacted by the phishing attack email that spread like wildfire earlier this week. Who do you think did it? I'm saying Microsoft, but, you know, that's just because I've read too much sci-fi recently.
People in our IT department thought it was probably from another country, maybe Russia.
Always with Russia.
It's,
always.
Yeah, you know, it's like every 80s action movie. The bad guy is always the Russians.
All right, I got something for you. A string of 8 tweeted characters.
Wow, that's a tough one.
I could read you the string of characters, but I don't think that would help, actually.
It might.
Lowercase n, 9, lowercase y, 2, 5, lowercase a, h, 7.
Did Sean Spicer tweet out his password again?
You, sir, have an excellent memory for random strings of characters because, yes, this is Sean Spicer, a tweet sent from his Twitter account back in January. The theory at the time was that the White House press secretary had inadvertently tweeted a password, but the independent journalist Lorelai Bailey has a post this week making the case that the string of characters is actually part of this like Bitcoin transaction called an identity confirmation code. And she did a bit of digging to find that the transactions relating to that specific ID code amounted to three anonymous payments equaling over $20,000. And the obvious implication here, Mike, is something, something Russian conspiracy. But I'm no Bitcoin expert, so I have no idea. What about you?
I don't know. That sounds just as plausible as a password, I guess. It's kind of fascinating. And, you know, it seems to be a theme that this week that, you know, the Russians are behind everything.
All right. What do you got for me? I'm just going to guess right now it's a Russian number. But, you know, I don't know.
I was thinking that. But no, I'm going to go. This one's homegrown. $7 billion.
I'm going to say this is the amount of money that Google's self-driving car unit Waymo claims Uber owes it over this supposed stolen intellectual property involving self-driving vehicles.
So I think that number, even though it's been redacted from all the court documents, is probably in the trillions, according to Google anyway. This Wow. number is actually the amount of money that Apple said that it brought in from just its services business. So no iPhones, no iPads, no Macs. In the last quarter. So all of the money that they earned from people downloading apps and movies and music, so nothing to do with all those iPhones we all have in our pockets.
This is an interesting thing because it's a growing business for Apple and sort of has to be, right? Because
yeah.
they can't just crush it by overcharging us for hardware for very long. You know, sometimes those little bits of money can make more in the aggregate than the several hundred dollars you pay for your device, I suppose.
Exactly.
Mike Murphy, he is tech reporter for the publication Quartz. Mike, thanks for playing Tally with me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.